Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton sitting in for Tom Crawford, who joins us by phone this morning. Hello, Tom.
Well, good morning, Jack and Dave. How are you guys doing this morning?
Morning.
Just fine. Where are you as we speak?
I'm on 69, heading to, area 70, going up 75. Last time I went to Saginaw, I can't tell you when, but we're heading up there the Saginaw Valley versus Grand Valley State game.
Oh, that's a big game.
That is a big game. If you see DeAnthony Arnett up there, say hello for us.
How did Tennessee end up with him? Didn't that seem a little strange to you or not?
Maybe a little bit. Michigan was always in the picture, although he didn't mention them, apparently. From what he told some people, he was very impressed by the offense last week. How could he not be? He was there for the Michigan-Illinois game, and he had 13 visits to East Lansing.
Wow.
And then suddenly, guess what? He's at Tennessee, and he's talking about how great the coaching staff is there.
They treat me really well.
Yeah.
I'll bet. Well, that's the only silver lining. He did not go to Michigan State, so I can stomach it. Oh, that's where I'm at these days, Jack.
A little schadenfreude there. Tom is looking for any silver lining here that does not involve Michigan State at this point. We've got a lot of Big Ten action today, Tom, and Michigan State, of course, not involved, but Michigan is in another must game for Rich Rodriguez, and the Wolverines have their bowl eligibility now, but to get to that 7-win mark, it's pretty clear that today is their best chance.
Yeah, this is the game that they let slip away in Ann Arbor last year with Purdue that made them completely bowl ineligible. We knew that it was inevitable they were going to lose the last game. So, yeah, this is going to be a big test for Michigan on the road. Sounds like Denard Robinson's going to be healthy enough. This guy just keeps bouncing back from knick-knack injuries, but it should be a – I'm counting on a Michigan victory. I'm not going to see it, because I'll be up at the Saginaw Valley game, the 12 o'clock start. But I'll be getting text messages from you, Jack, who will inform me how the score is. Letting you know that right now, and we'll see how it goes. But the big, big, important game for Rich Rodriguez. I think if he does win this game, that'll pretty much seal the deal that he'll be back in 2011.
You know what cracks me up? I've been listening a little bit this week to some talk radio around the state. And I'm hearing callers everywhere suggest that, well, Denard's getting so beat up, maybe they should think about switching him to running back so he doesn't get so beat up. And I just keep thinking to myself, don't running backs get more beat up than any other position on the field? Like,
yeah,
what kind of a problem-solving solution is that?
Really, Jack and I have talked about that many times. We call it miles on the car. You want to limit your miles, just like Javon Ringer when the NFL was looking at him. He had a lot of miles on the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Denard, though, is pretty durable kid. I mean, you got Tate Forcier as a backup, and their quarterback situation is not the issue at all with Michigan. It's that defense, and who knows how many points they'll give up when the running attacks of, Wisconsin hit them, and then the multiple offense attack of Ohio State the following week.
Who is a better passer, Tom? Denard Robinson or Tate Forcier?
I think Tate Forcier is a better passer, particularly in the pocket, although both of them scrambled out of the pocket. I mean, he's a pretty resilient kid. I've been really impressed with him because he could have pouted. The media tried to make it look like he pouted after game number one, but, he's done a really good job, and, he came back. Resiliency is always a test of a great athlete. He fumbles that first snap, and I go, oh, my God, wheels off the wagon. Here comes Illinois, and he comes back. So that speaks a lot. He's got a lot of moxie. He plays a lot of heart. So I like Dave Forcier for sure.
You know what I heard, Dave? People were speculating. It wasn't a matter of Denard, obviously. They wanted to cut down his touches if they could, and that may not be possible in some games. But they were saying, who's better, Tate Forcier or Vincent Smith? And they thought if they had Robinson and Forcier in the game at the same time, how many headaches that could present. Mm-hmm. They could run some plays where Forcier was split out He's a good enough athlete that he can make plays. I'm not going to try to tell the Michigan offensive staff how to run their team. They just scored 67 points.
Right.
So I don't think that's the issue. But I am constantly amazed that a team could allow 65 points, could allow 8 touchdowns, and have its entire defense be named the player of the game.
Well, that's what it shows, is all you need is one stop. You get one stop at the right time, and all of a sudden the defense is the hero.
Yeah.
And, frankly, that's been the case for Michigan all year long. Every single game, it's been their offense saying, okay, we'll keep scoring and keep scoring and keep us into the game and keep scoring and so on and so forth. And like, let's say the Indiana game, you get one big stop and all of a sudden, oh, the defense came up big today. Absolutely. When it really, a lot of times on teams, especially in Michigan teams in the past, it's been the other way around. It's been the defense saying, okay, we'll keep stopping them and then we'll get a long drive put together and we'll score a touchdown. And we'll just keep us in the game until our offense gets things going. And it's been the other way around this year.
A lot of talk, Tom, that maybe conventional wisdom in overtimes should be reexamined. The idea is that you want to be on defense. You want to have the last shot to score. You want to know what your opponent does. But if you think that no one can stop the other team, and it's going to go to multiple overtimes, when you get to the third overtime, you have to go for two. You can't kick point afters anymore. And in the situation that the Michigan defense was in, going last, it had scored. It had nothing to lose with an all-out blitz. It had clearly demonstrated it couldn't stop Illinois any other way. So by sending the house, they were in a position they knew what was at stake, what the score was, and Illinois was ill-equipped to handle it, that maybe you would want to be on defense in a situation like that instead of on offense.
You know, it's a very valid point. When I saw Craig Rowe flying, I knew everybody was coming on that play. You could just see it. I think Illinois knew it was all happening on the map, wheels off the wagon. I'm telling you what, though, it's easier for Michigan to defend a two-point play than, say, maybe 40, 50 yards out when they'll let a wheel go when the running back has 15-yard separation from anybody. That particular situation, that happening twice, Jack, tells me how magnified the problems are on that whole defensive scheme.
I thought when I saw those plays on tape, Tom? I said, this is Michigan State from a year ago.
Actually, it was Michigan State in 1976 in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
When Phil Rogers, when he quantified, hey, listen, we're getting better because we have guys now that are at least in the picture when they're scoring touchdowns on it. I mean, and he was saying that with a straight face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was perfectly serious. You know, you talk about Daryl Rogers. I saw a great piece on ESPN, one of the 30 for 30s, this week on Marcus Dupree. Mm. Did you see that, Tom?
I saw it, Jack. I did. I watched the whole thing for fun.
Did you see it, Dave?
Yeah, I watched part of it. Yeah. I was in and out.
What a sad indictment of the system and some individuals therein. People falling through the cracks. I mean, if a guy with all the exposure, all the hype, all the earning potential of Marcus Dupree can have that happen, just imagine how many stories there are in college football of guys who, maybe they get injured. And in Marcus Dupree's case, I don't know how many times he limped off the field before he finally went out for good, but, you know, four or five times a game, it seemed.
Oh, I remember that. And I remember that so well because I was in Houston, Texas, sports writer down there. Texas was in the hunt for him. This was in 1982, the spring thereof, and that was the biggest recruiting battle between Texas and Oklahoma and Mississippi. I mean, everybody was in on him, and it was a big time story, and then a sad ending because when he was on, he was on. I mean, I still can vividly remember when he got in a couple games there, Texas OU game. He was just unbelievable.
Yeah, you looked at him and you said, you know, this was Herschel Walker before Herschel Walker.
Absolutely.
And he had the speed, he had the size, and he was a running back. He wasn't just a big guy who they gave the ball to. But it all unwound and in dramatic fashion. And as so often happens, money is one of the big problems. Guys trust someone else with it, and the next thing they know, they don't have any of it. So,
that's a story I didn't really believe it. It was just one, and you just never saw the money.
Yeah,
He went to the USFL. That's just crazy.
So much for show me the money. Hey, Tom, we will be back, and we'll talk with you a little bit later. We're going to talk a little high school football, and we will be back with you en route to Saginaw Valley State. Big game today. We'll talk more Big Ten football. Dave Benton is here filling in. Scott Eckersley will be answering your calls, 393-3700, the number to call. We'll be right back with more. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.